I'm Brian Ellison, and this is KCUR's Up to Date. As people gathered around television sets and live-streamed the announcement, Missouri Governor Eric Greitens tendered his resignation, effective this Friday. With scandals both personal and professional swirling around Greitens, and with support from friends and allies dwindling, the man who remained defiant in the face of it all cited the stress placed upon his loved ones as one of the reasons for his departure. This hour, we will examine what brought about this moment in Missouri history, we'll get reactions from state Democrats and Republicans, and we'll try to see what this could mean for the state going forward under soon-to-be Governor Mike Parson. We'll get you up to date after this hour's news. Good morning and welcome to Up to Date. I'm Brian Ellison, in for Steve Kraske. Just less than 17 months after it began, the Eric Greitens experiment will come to an end. The Missouri governor announced yesterday afternoon that he will resign, effective this Friday at 5 p.m. That decision comes after a year unlike any other in state history, a full-fledged sex scandal, allegations of stealing a donor list from a charity for campaign use, mysterious payoffs to lawyers for ex-husbands, and at the center of it all, a hard-charging, ambitious former Navy SEAL who campaigned as one who would drain the swamp, but who for many would come to define it. Here are some excerpts of what he had to say as he resigned yesterday afternoon.
Today, I am announcing that I will resign as governor of Missouri, effective Friday, June 1st at 5 p.m. I came to office to fight for the people of Missouri, to fight for the forgotten. I love Missouri, and I love our people. That love remains. The last few months have been incredibly difficult for me, for my family, for my team, for my friends, and for many, many people that I love. This ordeal has been designed to cause an incredible amount of strain on my family. Millions of dollars of mounting legal bills, endless personal attacks designed to cause maximum damage to family and friends.
That was Missouri Governor Eric Greitens yesterday afternoon. Today on KCUR's Up to Date, we're taking stock of what happened and what it all means and what comes next. Later, we'll talk with legislators and political leaders, with a poli-sci professor, and with you. Feel free to tweet your thoughts or your questions even now. We're at KCUR Up to Date. But let's start with two of my fellow journalists who you've now come to know for their coverage of this story the past few months. Brian Houseworth is editor of Missouri Net. Hi, Brian.
Brian, good morning to you. Appreciate you.
He's joining us from Jefferson City. And from St. Louis, our friend Joe Manis, political reporter over at St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back, Joe.
Yeah, thanks for asking me.
Joe, you and I sat together after the State of the State address offering analysis of on a statewide broadcast, and I counted. It was 142 days ago.
Yeah, well, who remembers anything that we said that night?
Right, nobody. And a lot of what happened in between has been a blur, too. Can you imagine from that day getting to the day we're at now?
I thought it would be a lot quicker, and then... Okay, first, I do want to put this in perspective, at least for me. And I've been covering politics in this state for over 40 years now.
Yeah.
While this is significant, and he will be resigning, and this is major for the state, it's not the biggest tragedy I ever covered. And I think I've had two candidates, one for governor, one a sitting governor for the U.S. Senate, who died.
Carnahan, of course.
Governor Carnahan in 2000, which frankly was the biggest tragedy I ever covered. And then, of course, there was State Auditor Tom Schweik, who killed himself just a little over 3 years ago, and as he was running for governor. I'm using those as just two big examples. And there was also kind of a Shakespearean contest for governor back in 1992 that I covered at length for over a year, at the time, I'm glad I was young and somewhat stupid back then, because later looking back, I realized that still remains probably the most unusual political campaign I ever covered. The reason I want to mention all this is because while this is extremely tragic for the governor and his family, I mean, he is stepping down because of stuff he did. Mm-hmm. And he can, I mean, the man has many talents and he can rise again, maybe not in politics, but maybe doing something else. I just want to put that in perspective.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Because the state, I mean, we're assuming there's going to be a smooth transition at 5 p.m. on Friday. And we're going to be an outsider, an outspoken outsider who made no friends and many enemies in the state capitol, will be replaced by a seasoned veteran who's just as conservative,
right?
Arguably more so, but who has lots of friends in Jeff City and who knows how to wield power. And
we'll talk about some of those differences for sure
as
we go on this morning. Let me jump over to Brian Houseworth. I mean, Brian, I know a lot of our colleagues, including Joe and I, have described yesterday as a little bit surreal. Where were you when this went down?
I was actually at, and I agree, by the way, with a lot of what Joe said, her analysis in 1992, and good points on that, but I was, Joe and Brian, at the Associated Industries of Missouri headquarters in Jefferson City, covering a roundtable discussion featuring Senator Roy Blunt and Senate Majority Leader Mike Kehoe. They were running a little bit late. It was supposed to start around 3:45. Their presser was going to be at 4:30. I ended up being from really the only press there. There was a newspaper reporter came in very late. But I kind of sensed something wasn't quite right, because there was a television reporter that, as soon as Senator Blunt started talking, that literally ran out the door and said, "I have to go to the Capitol."
Which isn't usually how that works.
No, because you don't, you know. And I stayed with Blunt, by the way, even when I found out, kind of thought what was going to happen. I wanted to be there because I wanted to get his reaction, and Senator Kehoe as well. Jay Ashcroft was there. I mean, I was really in a perfect position to get reaction, but that's when I sensed something was happening, and then I looked at my email, and Parker Bryden had just put out that there was going to be a 4:15 press conference. So that's when it happened. It happened very quickly, and in the words of Senator Kehoe, he was shocked. Shock is the word I heard from a lot of people. Some people, you know, in the media, I hear a lot, they're not shocked. I can tell you from people at the Capitol, they are shocked.
Parker Bryden, the press secretary for Governor Greitens. Let's catch up on the latest news this morning. It would be nice if we could just talk about the past, but in fact, things are breaking even in the last hour. We've been waiting all morning for word from the St. Louis City Circuit Attorney's Office about a resolution regarding one of the criminal charges pending against Greitens. Joe, your colleague Rachel Lippman has been covering that over in St. Louis. Do you know the latest?
Yes. I mean, bottom line is that Circuit Attorney Kim Gartner, they're dropping this investigation. They're dropping the charges against him for computer tampering, which I think is significant because it means some of the other related investigations that were tied to are now gone. Apparently, this was reached as a result of negotiations over the weekend with his lawyers. So you're not real sure exactly what the deal was.
Right.
Supposedly there was a deal. Was the deal that he stepped down, or was the deal that he's going to plead guilty to something, or a misdemeanor? But I'm not hearing anything like that. But I'm assuming they got that Gardner's office got something for dropping the charges, but they're not saying exactly what.
You would think so. The Kansas City Star has gone so far as to report that the governor's team reached out to the prosecutor to make this deal. But again, nobody seems able to say exactly what the prosecutor got, if the resignation is in some way connected to that or if it's not related. Meanwhile, Brian, you've been at the Capitol. You're in Jefferson City now. What's been happening there this morning?
Well, and of course, I've been monitoring what's happening, and Joe and Rachel and you have been talking about that, because obviously one eye on that. But really, the big thing, I was back at the Capitol this morning. There were a number of reporters from Kansas City and St. Louis that stayed overnight. A couple of them I talked to, two, 1, 2, 3 hours sleep. They were back doing live shots from last night early this morning. and we were outside the lieutenant governor's office. So two really big stories today. Number one, the lieutenant governor, Mike Parson, is in his office. I never saw him. His chief of staff was in and out, and a number of photographers were in and out. I can tell you that he has been assigned Highway Patrol security. I've never seen him with that before. Usually he just comes and goes. Just last week I covered him in Columbia, and he was in the back seat of a sedan by himself. So you know, he's there, obviously, meetings all day, no press conference today. The other big thing is that he met with the Speaker of the House, Todd Richardson, and the Senate President Pro Tem Ron Richard, and Mike Kehoe. They were all in the meeting, came out very, very quick press conference afterwards. And the two biggest things that came out of that, Brian, number one of their meeting, Richardson, the Speaker, has invited Lieutenant Governor Parson, soon to be Governor Parson, to address a joint session of the legislature. Date on that is unclear. We tried to get a specific date. That's unclear. We don't know if it's going to be this week. It could be next week. I mean, not everybody's back here at the Capitol, so they're working on that. The other thing that I think stood out to me is a number of questions are being fired. People are asking, you know, when's Greitens got to be out of the mansion and stuff. Speaker was irked. He was irked that people were asking about that. He wanted to talk about what he was trying to do and also the fact that they are signing bills today. So the bills go to the governor, and I know Joe retweeted me today. Those bills will go to the governor sometime today. Some of them may be on their way because the Speaker and the Pro Tem were going to sign bills. Those go to Governor Greitens' desk, and a lot of people don't realize this. He still has full powers governor. He can veto those bills. He is governor until 5 o'clock p.m. on Friday. So, you know, Parson's people are saying he's going to review bills. That's true.
Joe Manis.
The reality is Greitens has those bills under his control right now. He has it until Friday at 5 o'clock.
Which right. Some people wondered if maybe that was why he was waiting until Friday to resign. Joe, can you imagine a scenario where Greitens actually signs and vetoes bills this week?
Yeah. Well, I could foresee. I mean, he was, you know, very upset yesterday, and he is not going, you know, happily. So I could foresee a scenario where he's seeing different bills from different lawmakers who he feels had been unfair to him or who had been, quote, enemies. I could see him vetoing a bunch of stuff before he leaves. Or he may decide to sign stuff, including some stuff that maybe some people don't want him to sign. I think he's probably maybe not thinking about that right now, but I suspect he will be definitely, you know, by later today or tomorrow because, yeah, especially now that stuff's coming over. So, but I could foresee Greitens making a statement, by what he signs and what he vetoes.
You know, I want to ask both of you to do a little bit of initial postmortem assessment here on what has taken place. And Joe put things in perspective that this isn't the biggest tragedy in Missouri politics in the last generation, but there has been some damage over the past 17 months. I wonder if we might just sort of talk through a few of the ways that the state has been affected by what's taken place, starting with sort of the political culture, the spirit of lawmaking in Jefferson City. What's been the impact? Brian, you're there.
Forgive me, my reporter had just called me. Can you repeat the question?
Sure. What's been the impact on the political culture of Jefferson City this and not just this last week or month, but the whole tumultuous tenure of Eric Greitens?
Well, you know, it's a great question. I think it depends on who you speak to. There are some who will say that they did not view it as a distraction. Speaker Richardson would be in that camp. Joe's talked to him. I've talked to him as well. He has said it's one of the most productive sessions he's ever seen, more cooperation ever than they've ever seen between the Senate and the House. And there's some other Republicans that feel that way as well. But if you talk to the House Minority Leader, Gail McCann Beatty of Kansas City, or yesterday I spoke to Majority Leader Mike Kehoe, a Republican. He said it has been a distraction. Senator Blunt said it had been a huge distraction. That's a direct quote from him. So it just depends on who you speak to. The ironic thing is last year, in his first year, they passed, ballpark about 70 bills. This year, almost double that, 140, maybe 144. So they got more bills through. But you had all this other stuff going on. And some of those are appropriations bills. Some of those are budget bills. There were, you know, a lot of them are bills that are not high profile, but they still passed.
I mean, Joe, to a certain extent, there's been a certain kind of unity, maybe a strange unity, but in a way you saw Republicans and Democrats coming together in some interesting ways.
Yeah, I mean, the governor never made, and when I say he didn't make any friends, he really didn't. He made a lot of enemies. And I think that the last year, excuse me, I think there was an effort by Republicans leaders to try to work with them on some stuff. They got right to work through first real quick, but then things sort of got bogged down. Then as his interests kind of went elsewhere, I mean, the governor wasn't always around. And some lawmakers, I'm thinking Senate leader Ron Richard, you know, had some run-ins with him pretty quickly.
Right.
So that this last session, what really got me was the last day we were talking to Richardson and Richard, separate interviews. Bottom line is both basically said the governor was a non-factor. I mean, they were pointing to how many bills they got through and stuff, but they didn't give the governor any credit at all. And this is a guy of the same party. And right. I thought that was they were harsher towards him, at least my perspective, than I'd ever seen them being harsher to Jay Nixon, a Democrat.
Right.
And it wasn't like they were fans of his, but at least – and they used to get upset with Nixon saying he wasn't engaged enough. But I got to tell you, I mean, as I said, Greitens was definitely a non-factor this session, in part because of his troubles and he had to lay low, but in part because I think the lawmakers decided they were going to move on and do what they thought needed to be done, and they didn't really care what he did
right.
or didn't.
You know, the other piece of collateral damage potentially to talk about is to the governor's future. We all speculated, and some people would even say they knew, that Governor Eric Greitens had his sights set higher than governor of Missouri. And over the past few months, people have been watching and that those ambitions sort of drift away and not seem possible. What does life look like, do you think, for an Eric Greitens after Friday at 5 p.m.?
A new book.
He has written a few already.
No, but I mean something, you know, about redemption or something about what he's discovered about himself. I could see him because he is a good writer. He had a big following when he ran for governor. That always struck me. Some of his last rallies before the election in 2016, there were all these young people who'd flown in from all over the country to help him because they had been inspired by his book. So I think that he probably will be looking in some ways to recast himself. I personally think that for him, a moment of reckoning was when he got uninvited from the Republican Governors Association event last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I think from what I'd been hearing from people close to him, he was still sort of in denial about all this, thinking somehow he could survive all this. And he just couldn't believe. I think he still can't believe some of this is happening. And two things. I think he ended up having to step down because he could see that the Republican Party did not want anything to do with him. And B, he could see where, okay, the judge's ruling yesterday morning that he had to turn over these financial records to the State House committee.
Right.
I mean, I always thought he was more in potential legal trouble over the financial stuff than over the stuff in the basement. But it's just that the stuff in the basement really alienated Republicans, especially because he had run as a pro-family, you know, husband,
right,
devoted husband, yada, yada, yada.
Well, and it may depend on what Republicans you're talking about, right? That the Republicans in Jefferson City, at least in my conversations, really did seem more concerned with the campaign issues and the funding issues and the computer tampering, whereas I do wonder, and let me ask you about this, Brian, a lot of your Missouri Net stations are in rural areas, places that might be associated with being Greitens' base. Were Republicans out in the out parts of Missouri, were they concerned more about one of these charges than the other, or were they standing with Greitens pretty solidly anyway?
You couldn't get a lot of them to talk, say much about it. I had a hard time getting people to say much about it on either side. I sensed, and Joe may agree with this, I sensed that the governor did have some support among rural lawmakers. For instance, he was very popular in the Boot Heel. I was down in the Boot Heel, did a long series about the jobs in the Boot Heel. I was down there in November. Of course, that was before the charges came, but that area really helped carry him over the top. I mean, you know, Governor won with about 51% of the vote, so he needed those votes down the Boot Heel, obviously, and that helped him. Don Roan was a strong supporter of him. I know that I was at the Carnahan Memorial Garden, I believe it was the day before the end of session.
Yeah, I was there too.
You were right in front of me, Joe. It was raining. Craig Redman and Senator Dan Brown and Senator Brian Munsinger were there. The governor, and whatever we think here, the governor obviously released those biodiesel funds. The farmers seemed very happy about it, but he had those three lawmakers standing there behind him. He didn't answer press questions, but I did ask Senator Munsinger about the situation afterwards. Again, this is on the 17th, and his comment to me was, we've only heard one side of the story so far. We have not heard from the governor's side. So,
but not for lack of opportunity for the governor to present that side.
Well, because he, had been invited to testify and now has been subpoenaed, and that actually came up today at the press conference, what's going to happen with that. And he had declined, originally said it was because he didn't want to testify before his trial. But yes, there were definitely lawmakers who were supportive of him, but getting people to talk on the record about any of this was difficult.
One of the things we've heard is that the House Investigating Committee's work appears to be wrapped up. Their authority was to investigate Eric Greitens, but there were a lot of unanswered questions that came up during that testimony. As the two of you understand it, does all of that just go away? Will any aspect of those investigations continue after this?
Well, that actually came up, Brian and Joe, today at the press conference with Speaker Richardson and Pro Tem Richard. It came up from reporters who were asking about it, specifically the subpoenas and will they release a report. And the speaker was very vague about it. Really, he came out to want to talk about one thing, and that's the fact they invited Parson to address a joint session. Mm-hmm. And that they were there to sign bills. And Joe knows this. She's there a lot, as do you. He stays on message. He really likes to say what he wants to say. He'll take a few questions. And literally, he ended up walking off and pulling Ron Richard from him. He literally pulled him from the podium, pulled him out of the press conference. Literally.
Yeah, it sounds like whether the House Investigating Committee continues the questions, others will keep asking them.
Well, a couple points I would like to make clear. A lot of the questions about the governor's dark money fundraising, the committees that he's set up or are encouraged to be set up that get all this money from unlimited amounts from unknown donors, that's been going on for a couple of years. The reporters have been writing about it. You've had some critics in both parties complain about it. But frankly, the leadership, maybe they didn't like it, but they were letting it go. Mm-hmm. It was the stuff in the basement with the woman that then upset them because I think it did change his image. And I think when he refused to step down, then they pivoted back to the stuff about the campaign finances. I'm not sure if they would have pivoted to that if there hadn't been the personal stuff involving the affair before he was elected governor. I wonder about that. I think in some ways they used the money stuff to try to force him out when he wouldn't leave voluntarily because of the other. Now, I've been hearing for weeks that the FBI and others are still looking at some of this money stuff. So we may not have heard the end of it, but I'm not sure if there's a taste in Jeff City to continue pursuing it. That's just my speculation on it.
That's Joe Manis of St. Louis Public Radio. We also have been speaking with Brian Houseworth of Missouri Net. Thanks for rounding up this really important story for us this morning. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for asking
me. Thanks, Joe. Have a good day.
You too.
When we come back, we'll get some reactions from local political leaders representing both parties. We'll also get the latest on the news out of St. Louis from the circuit attorney about that deal reached with Greitens' attorneys over the weekend. We also want to hear from you. What did you think of Greitens' decision to resign, and what questions do you have about the state and its future? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. You can also tweet at KCURUpToDate. I'm Brian Ellison. You're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. Welcome back to KCUR's Up to Date. I'm Brian Ellison in for Steve Kraske today. Yesterday on the program, we talked about the future of NASCAR and what that could mean for fans and the Speedway here in the Metro. You can hear that conversation and many others at kcur.org/up to date. Tomorrow, one Missouri group's push for more lobbying reform, as well as limits on campaign contributions in Jefferson City. Join us then. Today, we are talking about the resignation of Missouri Governor Eric Greitens yesterday. And we have some breaking news, as reported by the Kansas City Star. Governor Greitens offered to resign as part of an agreement to dismiss the computer tampering charge against him. That charge was dropped. That was announced about an hour ago in St. Louis by the Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner. We knew there was some sort of agreement, but it did not seem to include any admission of guilt on the part of the governor. However, we do now have a report from the Kansas City Star that was just posted a few minutes ago that said, confirming earlier reports that in fact the decision of the governor to resign was part of the agreement to dismiss the charges. We'll be following that story throughout the day here on KCUR. Joining us now to talk about this is State Representative Gail McCann Beatty. She represents the Kansas City metro area in the Missouri House of Representatives. She's also the minority floor leader. Representative Beatty, welcome to Up to Date.
Thank you. Good morning, Brian.
This has been quite a 24 hours.
It absolutely has been.
And what was your reaction when you heard the news? Were you surprised?
Quite frankly, I was quite surprised. The governor has been pretty adamant about he wasn't going to resign. So to get the news that he in fact was very shocking.
Having said that, you had called on him to resign long ago and called on him to be impeached. Still think it was the right decision, obviously?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm curious, though, his resignation ends a process in the House, this long investigating committee work, the unearthing of reports both about the affair and also about the alleged computer tampering. It sounds like that investigation had even reached beyond those potential criminal charges to issues involving campaign donations or donations to the group A New Missouri. What happens with that process, as you understand it?
Well, because he's no longer governor, obviously our committee cannot pursue impeachment charges, but I'm hopeful that that is going to continue. I think everybody's heard the rumors that perhaps the FBI is looking into that. And I think people deserve to know the truth. Missourians have been asking for ethics reform for quite some time, and the legislature has failed to do so. So I think that's something that needs to continue. And then I think the priority for the next session needs to be a comprehensive ethics reform.
And of course, some of that could happen through a citizen initiative, the Clean Missouri proposal as
Correct.
Well.
That's right. That will be on the ballot. Some of the challenge I think we have with that, though, is you get pieces of it. And it really is incumbent upon the legislature to do this, to make sure it's done properly. We found some challenges with the amendment, too. And there were five or six ethics bills put out, filed early in session, most of which did not get a hearing. And clearly the ballot initiatives say that this is what the people want, and we need to be listening.
You know, I'm curious. The legislative session is obviously over now. Republicans were able to get a lot of their priorities passed through the legislature, and you've already expressed your displeasure with a lot of what took place during the session. There's a different governor now, but the legislature's not in session. How much does it matter that there's a different person after Friday sitting in that chair?
Well, I think it's important that we start restoring trust back to Jefferson City. I think Eric Greitens put a dark cloud over us, and people are very skeptical about politicians in general. I think Governor Parson will help to bring that stability back to the government and the integrity back to the government, and that's what we need. People need to trust that their legislators are doing what they asked. And we need to get back to that.
Some people, I think, when they were being really honest, acknowledged that in some ways, at least politically, Democrats were better off with a divided Republican Party, with a governor who was struggling at the helm as far as advancing their own political agenda. Is that any part of what you are feeling today as a Democratic leader?
You know, I think the issues we faced with Eric Greitens went way beyond party politics. Mm-hmm. The image of Missouri in the national spotlight was not good. That's not what we want for our state. I think it was best for our state that he resign. I think Governor Parson, yes, he's a Republican, and yes, the Republican agenda will continue. But I think he will be better for our state. I think he is someone that, as a Democrat, we will be able to approach and have conversation with. And I think that's important no matter who is serving as governor.
That's Representative Gail McCann-Beatty. If you'd stick around, we'd love to ask you a few more questions. But we're also joined now by phone by Mark Anthony Jones. He's the Jackson County Republican Committee Chairman. Mark, thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
We're glad you're here. What did you make of the governor's resignation yesterday?
Well, I think it was sad, but also, I guess, a long time coming. We need to be about taking care of the people's business and getting ready for the fall elections. And it was completely a distraction. So while I'm very sad, I'm ready to move on.
You know, a lot of folks looked at this whole situation and characterized it as an intra-party Republican struggle. The House leadership, the Senate leadership, the vast majority of legislators all calling on the governor to resign. And yet a lot Republican Party structures and, of course, the governor's team defending him. The governor, for his part, blamed Democrats for going after him. How do you see it? Who's responsible for Greitens being, pushed out of office?
Well, you have to look at the nature of what he did. No Democrats that I'm aware of participated in his actions. Yes, they pushed the issue, and many think they probably should have. But the actions of the governor were the reason he had to resign.
No one to blame but himself.
Absolutely.
Do you have a sense at this point, Mark, you've been active in the party for a while here in the Kansas City area. I mean, what do you think will be the long-term impact on the Republican Party of this whole matter?
Well, honestly, I'm not exactly sure. I know, I've talked to a number of people who are furious at the inter-party politics. They're furious at the Democrats for making it political. And as Gail had just said, I agree with a lot of what she said. I don't think that rests on the Democrats. The governor's actions are why we went through this. And I didn't like the inter-party politics within our party, back and forth with each other. I think one of the things we're going to see this fall is a backlash. There are some Republicans that are very angry that the governor was pushed out, and he was pushed out partly by Republicans. And, of course, that also, in my opinion, rests on the governor because he didn't make very many friends coming in. And that's also not on Democrats. That's something that's within our party that we have to wrestle with and we have to work with. And all of it came down to not being in favor of the governor here in the long run.
I want to bring into the conversation Peverell Squire. He's a professor at the Department of Political Science at the University of Missouri. Professor Squire, welcome to Up to Date.
Thank you.
You've been with us before. You talked about some of the processes and procedures that might be involved with an impeachment proceeding. Now that we're past all of that, what's your reaction to where Missouri stands today?
Well, we've certainly experienced some extraordinary events here. I think the state will survive. I think once power has been transferred, which should be done seamlessly on Friday, that the state will get back to business pretty much the way it's always done business.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, there's certainly two big issues that still remain to be considered. One representative already discussed whether, in fact, the state legislature should put forward a complete record of what they've found and continue to probe some of the questions they were probing. And I think that's a valuable exercise. And the second thing is a mechanical problem. We will not have a lieutenant governor once Parson moves to the governorship. And the state's going to need to figure out some procedure for filling that position just to make sure we don't sort of incur another crisis from neglect.
This is a really interesting question and one that I can almost not believe is a real issue. But the state constitution doesn't outline specifically how a vacancy in the lieutenant governor's office is filled.
It is curious. It's not surprising. We've seen other states go through this sort of problem before. New Jersey, probably the most recent. And it's just something now that the state legislature should give some serious thought to, because, of course, we can't forecast what's going to happen, but we want to be prepared in any event.
There's an argument to be made that one thing the Constitution does say is that anytime there's a vacancy in any elected office, the governor fills it. Some have interpreted that to mean to include the office of lieutenant governor. Representative Gail McCann Beatty, what's your take?
Well, I think we have a bit of a situation. It is very unclear how we fill that seat. I think most people believe that the new governor will appoint someone for lieutenant governor, and then there's a good chance that someone will file a lawsuit as a result of it, and the courts may end up settling that at the end of the day. But that is something that the legislature needs to address. We have had several instances where the lieutenant governor has become governor and that seat has been open. And we've never actually clarified how that situation should be filled. And so I think that's something that the legislature absolutely needs to look at.
And there's no provision, of course, for example, a lieutenant governor who is suggested by the new governor to be confirmed or voted on in any way.
No, that's correct.
Peveril Squire, I mean, another question people have asked is how much will be in the hands of the new governor in terms of the machinery of state government, the bureaucracy, all of the department heads that Governor Greitens has appointed? Are those all up for grabs now, or will they continue to serve as they have?
Well, of course, we've had some problems in the legislature with a number of the nominations Governor Greiten put forward. I think the new governor will be able to take command of those positions, and probably given his experience with the legislature, he'll work more closely with legislative leaders to try to smooth over those difficulties. There's clearly a lot of power that a governor enjoys, and particularly when the legislature's out of session, there's a lot of things that have to be done in terms of implementation of laws, interpretation of laws, and, of course, unanticipated events that occur while the legislature's out of session. And so I think Governor Parson will have a lot to do, but again, I think he'll probably communicate much better with legislative leaders.
We're talking about the resignation of Governor Greitens and the impact on the state in the short term and in the long term. Mark Anthony Jones is with us. He's the Jackson County Republican Committee Chair. Gail McCann Beatty is the House Democratic leader in Missouri and from here in the Kansas City area. And Peveril Squire is a professor in the Poli-Sci department at Mizzou. Mark Anthony Jones, I want to ask you about kind of the political base of the Republican Party going forward. Just a couple of weeks ago, we saw Eric Greitens getting standing ovations at county party gatherings around the state. I don't know that any of those were in Jackson County, but what do you think the base is thinking about Governor Greitens now? Do they see this as the political witch hunt, as the governor has said, or are they also ready to move on to something else?
Well, the party is very split. I mean, there definitely was a large contingency standing behind the governor. And I think the contingency against him was much smaller. So the party's still split. And, I mean, I have people telling me that they're going to vote against any Republican who is against the governor. And then I have people telling me they're excited that he's gone and that it was the right thing to do. So...
And does that create problems as you
seeing how deep that goes?
I'm sorry. I mean, you mentioned that you've turned your attention now to the November elections. Surely that presents some extra challenges with the party still maybe divided somewhat against itself.
It absolutely does. And that's going to need to be healed. And I do believe the Governor Parson can do that. but it will take a little bit of time, yes.
Meanwhile, Gail McCann Beatty, the Democratic Party, has been recruiting candidates to run for House and Senate here in the state, has more candidates than they've had in many years, including in some districts where they haven't won in many, many years. Is it your sense that what has happened this week with the governor will have implications for November and for how things work in Jeff City next year?
I think it will. Now, you know, I don't foresee that the Democrats are all of a sudden going to take over the House and the Senate by any stretch of the imagination. But I am hoping for Governor Parson that he can restore some trust back in state government. I think that's best for both parties. I think that's best for how things function. It was talked about his ability to work with the Senate because he already has a relationship with the Senate. Eric Greitens came in and created battles from the start. And that's not what people expect of their state government. They expect it to work together. And so is it going to have implications? Absolutely. But only time will tell exactly what that is.
816-235-2888 is the number to call. What are your thoughts about Governor Greitens' resignation yesterday? What are your questions for what happens next? 816-235-2888. Let's talk to Marcia in Kansas City. Marcia, thanks for waiting and welcome to the program.
Thank you. My question is, what is the cost to taxpayers of all of these legal entanglements that the governor has put the state through, and where does the money come from? Does it come out of the general fund? That's my question.
Good question. I'll see if our guests know the answer to that question. Representative Beatty?
So I don't know that anyone can answer exactly what the cost has been just yet with the time that the investigative committee has spent. So that's something that will come out in the future. There is a contingency fund for that that was specifically being used for that. But I don't have a real answer in terms of how much those dollars are going to be. Clearly, we save a lot of money not having to go through with the full impeachment process.
Right. And the governor's was making the argument that the state budget should pay for his attorneys to defend him against impeachment because that was the business of the office of governor. Peverell, is this a question that you're familiar with?
Well, we're not really sure exactly how much money's being spent here. The governor's legal expenses, it's not clear who's covering what costs. He does have some lawyers that he hired through means that may not have been entirely appropriate to protect him and as governor. But we really don't know. But I think in the overall scheme of things, again, given the size of the state budget, that these costs are pretty minimal. And it's just one of the expenses that you incur in sort of the regular process of government. This is one of the things we expect the legislature to be able to do. And to their credit, they had the resources to do it.
You know, we talked about the impact of this politically on the state government, but let's talk for a minute about what will really be the marquee race come November, and that's the race for the U.S. Senate. Democrat incumbent Claire McCaskill is defending what was thought to be a very vulnerable seat against her likely Republican challenger, Attorney General Josh Hawley. Josh Hawley got caught up in a lot of this story with his investigations of Eric Greitens. Some thought he should have done more sooner. Some in his own party were critical of his decisions there. Mark Anthony Jones, how do you see what's happened this week affecting the Missouri Senate race?
It absolutely does affect the Missouri Senate race. That's part of what I'm hearing, is that the grassroots are not happy with Josh Hawley for the way he threw the governor under the bus. So there'll be some fallout from that.
And can he afford that? You know, he was leading in polls initially. There's been apparently some loss, a lot of criticisms of how he has campaigned or not campaigned very much.
Well, at this point, Austin Peterson is ahead of him.
Right.
In the latest Gravis poll.
Right. Josh Hawley is not necessarily the nominee, is your point.
That is correct. And we are still in a primary. I consistently remind my Republican superiors that they need to talk about it as a primary, because you are not going to elect him in the newspaper or in the media. The vote will have to take place, and we may not have Josh Hawley in the end.
Gail McCann Beatty, how gleeful are you as a Democrat to hear the county Republican chair talking about the possibility that Josh Hawley, who's been endorsed by President Trump for the office, is not necessarily even going to be the nominee?
Well, I think that's probably true. I mean, but at the end of the day, Senator McCaskill is a tough fighter, and she's going to fight to the end no matter who her opponent happens to be. This is going to be a difficult campaign on both sides. And, you know, perhaps what has happened with the governor may have some fallout for whoever the Republican nominee happens to be. But it's going to be a very tough and difficult and very expensive campaign.
Peverell Squire, as you take a look at the Senate campaign, how do you see things being affected by the turbulent tenure of Eric Greitens?
Well, it's clearly damaged Hawley's campaign. He hasn't made anybody happy with his actions. Republicans are disappointed with him being too tough on the governor. Democrats and independents are a little skeptical that he took so long to get involved in the pursuit of the governor. And so I think we'll see in early August how much Republicans are really unhappy with him. I would be surprised if he doesn't get the nomination. But to this point, he's clearly not been the candidate that I think a lot of Republican leaders thought they were going to be promoting.
816-235-2888 is the number to call to join our conversation about the resignation of Eric Greitens. 235-2888. Let's talk with Bill in Grandview. Hi, Bill.
Good morning to you all. I know this is a switch from the election, but I did not trust the former governor and his cabal. I would like to know if there's any way that we will ever know what documents he has destroyed or were never recorded in any of his transactions as governor. Is there a way to backtrack any on all that? And I'll take mine off here.
Thanks, Bill, for calling in. Peverell Squire, what do we know about record keeping and transparency? How will we know that all of the records of this administration are really being preserved?
Well, we don't. And that's one of the concerns that a lot of people have had. We don't know what, if anything, can be recovered from the Confide app and the governor's office's use of that. You have to have some confidence that the people in his administration have been following the law in the way that we would expect them to do. But again, that's going to take some investigation. And I don't know whether the House committee has uncovered reservations on that score or not.
If the House committee did have reservations about that, if there are still investigations pending, is there a mechanism for those kinds of questions to be asked going forward? Professor Squire?
That's an interesting question. I think the House committee can be empowered to investigate most anything, and they could have their investigation extended beyond the special session if the leadership chose to. And I think there are so many unanswered questions that give Missourians across the political spectrum concern that that probably is a useful exercise for them to try as best they can to answer a lot of the questions that people still have.
You know, I do want to ask, with the time that we have left, something about the future memories of this administration. Is it too early to talk about a legacy or the lasting impact of a Greitens administration? Mark Anthony Jones, as a Republican, what do you think? Are there some positive things that the Greitens administration would be remembered for?
Well, I think the Republican Party would like to consider Greitens. He signed Right to Work. And I know that's obviously divisive between Democrats and Republicans.
And will be on the ballot this August for review by the voters.
And will be, absolutely, it will be on the ballot. So I think it will be remembered, though, that he's the governor who took America toward Right to Work. If it's rolled back, then that obviously erases that bit of his legacy. So that's one of the primary things. I know there are other things, but I think that's probably the biggest one.
Yeah, Gail McCann Beatty, a lot of the things that the Republican lawmakers passed over your objections in this past session and in last year's session as well were things that the governor lent his support to.
Yeah, I don't think, though, people are going to remember that this governor, that this was his agenda. Unfortunately, I think the scandal is what's going to be his legacy, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, Peverell Squire, you've covered or you've studied Missouri politics for a long time. How is there such a thing as a legacy that we can talk about Eric Greitens potentially having?
I suspect there's probably not much beyond the scandal. I think the things that Governor Greitens signed were part of the Republican agenda, and any Republican governor would have signed them. There's no one policy or set of policies that were clearly identified with Greitens or were things that he was really pushing. And I think particularly this last legislative session, it was the legislature that took the initiative, and they produced their own tax cut bill. And most everything that they did was their own initiative rather than at the governor's initiative. So I don't think there's much that you can single out and say it was because Eric Greitens was in office that X happened.
You know, as we look to the future now, there is some unfinished business besides the stack of bills to sign or veto that Governor Parson will find on his desk. There are some vacancies. Peverell Squire, you mentioned those. The State Board of Education does not yet have a quorum. It's not able to meet yet. Gail McCann Beatty, what do you think are some of the lingering issues that you're looking forward to seeing how Governor Parson deals with?
Well, I think the other issue we have is the Ethics Commission does not have enough members as well. And there is a complaint out there against the Eric Greitens. So I think that will be probably one of the first places that the new governor will look to put in new commissioners. People were very concerned about Eric Greitens being able to do that and then having that same commission investigate him. So I think that's going to be important.
So the story isn't over yet. We'll be following it here on KCUR. I appreciate the help of our guests, Mark Anthony Jones, the Republican committee chair here in Jackson County, Representative Gail McCann Beatty of Kansas City, the House Democratic leader, and Peverell Squire from the Poli Sci Department at the University of Missouri. Thanks to all of you for being with us.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Yesterday on the program, we talked about the role of white people in the social justice fight for racial equality. You can hear that conversation at kcur.org/uptodate. You can also find us on Twitter. We're at kcuruptodate, and I'm at PTSBrian. Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook. Tomorrow, meet one of the men behind songs so classic that nearly everyone knows the words. Our show is produced by Danny Alexander, Luke Martin, Kathleen Pointer, Dallas Johnson, and Emily Park. I'm Brian Ellison. Steve Kraske's back tomorrow, and you are up to date.